feel my heart break. You feel my heart break. Don't just pounce away. Hold me close now, baby. Give your arms to struggle. Ever you see.
Bernice Reagan and Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give Your Hands to Struggle. This is a title track of the album released by the Smithsonian Folkways Recordings in 1997. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And lots of stuff happening all around us today. Today is the President's State of the Union Address. I won't be listening. If I am, it would be because I'm near something that is broadcasting his speech. So I'm not going to be listening to that. I think, you know, his conduct is so reprehensible. I don't even want to hear his voice, because if his mouth is moving, it means he's lying. And we've had enough of that. And of course, we are getting the reverberations of all kinds of concerns about the fact that the caucus's votes have not yet come in, and they're not tallied, and it's a big mess, and people are all over it. You know, just calm down. Just calm down. Yes, it's a very important vote, and yes, it's very important that, you know, the vote come in. Okay, the votes come in, so people would know who won and whatnot. But there was a glitch. The Martians didn't invade the United States and cause it to happen. It wasn't one of those things. It simply was a glitch. And it delayed the tallies of the votes and so forth. But people were going crazy. They still are. Out of their minds. How could this happen? And we want Tom Perez. We want him fired now. You know, this is not supposed to happen. Listen, it's an accident. It was not foreseen that it would happen. And we should be grown up enough to accept that this was not a planned conspiratorial thing. It just is an accident. So, calm down. Just calm down. And eventually we'll know what happened. It is, of course, unfortunate that it happened. And it is causing people a lot of anxiety, and we understand all that. But come on, sometimes, you know, grown people make me so depressed. You can tell that this was not planned. This is not an act of sabotage. It was an accident. There was a glitch, a computer glitch, or however they explain it, and things went down. It just didn't have the information that they thought they would have had by now. But it is no cause for an outbreak. There's no cause for people freaking out and carrying on. Just calm down, and, you know, things will proceed. They'll get it fixed, and we will know what the results are. See, I'm calm. I can't stand when I'm, you know, when something happens, something very serious happens. You didn't expect it to happen, that people just freak out. And it happens almost every time. And it's not, I mean, yes, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I could understand the anxieties that people have because so much is riding on these votes. But at the same time, it's an accident. It's an unforeseen accident that occurred that caused the numbers or the figures or whatever it is that people were waiting for to occur. It's not lost forever. It's not going to be something permanent. It is just an accident. That's all it is. Calm down. Don't freak out. It drives me crazy when people freak out. I mean, freak out when it calls for it, of course. But in the meantime, I mean, we all grown. And we can figure out that this was not a planned thing. It was, as I said, not an act of sabotage. It's just an accident that happened. Unfortunate, yes, that it happened. Disappointing, whatever it is you want to call it. But it was an accident. Just take a chill pill and calm down, and things will work out. I want to talk today about, what we've been talking about, this president of ours, of yours. I'll give him to you. You can have him. I don't want him. And where that puts us as a nation. But I want to say something particularly important because it has been off the radar since it began. And that is that we are being conditioned to accept that we should see this in a one-dimensional way. And I'm saying no. The Democrats, I mean, they're choreographing this thing to make it look like they're doing the right thing, the president is doing the wrong thing, the Republican Party is doing the wrong thing. The fact is they're all doing the wrong thing. Okay? That's my position. It is not just that recently the Democrats had an idea or got information that led them to believe that they should take matters a little bit deeper and look into the president's conduct via a trial, an impeachment trial. There was very little that came out of the trial that you didn't know before. You've known this president for quite a while. You've known his habits. You've known the fact that he lies pathologically. So it befuddled me that there was all this surprise. You know, the president surprisingly is lying about things. And oh, we caught him in a lie. He opens his mouth, he lies. Come on, you know that. I understand that you want to get a little bit of credit. I understand that you, especially at this time, with national elections occurring and so forth, you want to look like a party that has been on the job, looking out for the people's interests. You didn't care about the people's interests. Nancy Pelosi didn't care about the people's interests. The party as an institution moved away from the people and kept its distance. Now it's like, oh, we are very, very concerned. And we are here to protect the interests of the people. And, well, look, listen to this speech made by Mr. Schiff's, you know, Congressman Schiff from California. And listen to the passion and the sense of righteousness and the sense of, you know, being aggrieved, wanting to rise to protect all in the country. And they're doing their job. And they're looking out. They're highly moralistic now. Because the president is the problem. The president is the problem. And they're doing everything they can to rein this man in. And to, if possible, remove him from office. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't some truth to what they're saying. I'm saying that we must remember nobody is clean here. Nobody. They have both Republicans and Democrats and even some of the other extraneous parties that we have. They've walked away from the people. They've walked away from their jobs. And their jobs, their main job is to protect the interests of the people by doing their job. That's what they're there for. But suddenly it has come up with such a sense of passion. And it's, you know, accompanied with a lot of breast beating and conscience and morality and all of that kind of stuff. I don't doubt that some of them actually do feel that way. But I'm not impressed with that. I understand it's acting. It's good acting. It's appropriate acting, perhaps. But it does not excuse the Democrats from the main sin that they have been committing over these past years. They have removed themselves away from the people. They have decided that it was easier to do it that way. They didn't have to get all exercised. They didn't have to do all this work. This stuff is work. Nobody wants this kind of work. But insofar as they're doing it, they want us to appreciate the fact that, you know, it is because of a moral imperative, because they're morally superior to Trump and the Republicans. So we're getting all of that in the mix as well. Listen to the summary speech by Adam Schiff, who was the lead, what they call them now, managers of this process. This is what he had to say.
It must have come as a shock, a pleasant shock, to this president that our norms and institutions would prove to be so weak. The independence of the Justice Department and its formerly proud office of legal counsel, now mere legal tools at the president's disposal, to investigate enemies or churn out helpful opinions not worth the paper they are written on. The FBI painted by a president as corrupt and disloyal. The intelligence community not to be trusted against the good counsel of Vladimir Putin. The press portrayed as enemies of the people. The daily attacks on the guardrails of our democracy, so relentlessly assailed, have made us numb and blind to the consequences. Does none of that matter anymore if he's the president of our party? I hope and pray that we never have a president like Donald Trump in the Democratic Party, one that would betray the national interest and the country's security to help with his reelection. And I would hope to God that if we did, we would impeach him and Democrats would lead the way. But I suppose you never know just how difficult that is until you are confronted with it. But you, my friends, are confronted with it. You are confronted with that difficulty now, and you must not shrink from it. History will not be kind to Donald Trump. I think we all know that. Not because it will be written by never-Trumpers, but because whenever we have departed from the values of our nation, we have come to regret it. And that regret is written all over the pages of our history. If you find that the House has proved its case and still vote to acquit, your name will be tied to his with a cord of steel and for all of history. But if you find the courage to stand up to him, to speak the awful truth to his rank falsehood, your place will be among the Davids who took on Goliath. If only you will say enough. Every single vote, even a single vote by a single member, can change the course of history. It is said that a single man or woman of courage makes a majority. Is there one among you who will say enough? America believes in a thing called truth. She does not believe we are entitled to our own alternate facts. She recoils at those who spread pernicious falsehoods. To her, truth matters. There is nothing more corrosive to a democracy than the idea that there is no truth. America also believes there is a difference between right and wrong, and right matters here. But there is more. Truth matters, right matters, but so does decency. Decency matters. When the president smears a patriotic public servant like Marie Ivanovich in pursuit of a corrupt aim, we recoil. When the president mocks the disabled, a war hero who is a prisoner of war, or a Gold Star father, we are appalled, because decency matters here. And when the president tries to coerce an ally to help him cheat in our elections and then covers it up, we must say enough. Enough. He has betrayed our national security, and he will do so again. He has compromised our elections, and he will do so again. You will not change him. You cannot constrain him. He is who he is. Truth matters little to him. What's right matters even less, and decency matters not at all. I do not ask you to convict him, because truth or right or decency matters nothing to him, but because we have proven our case and it matters to you.
Move against
truth
him
matters
to convict
to you.
And it means also, at the same time, that they leave in the minds of the public the idea that he did commit these acts. And they, of course, disapprove of these acts that he committed, which caused them, in the first place, to charge him with two articles of impeachment. But if this is how some people are thinking now, with a censure, it means that they can persuade the public, and of course themselves, that the offenses that Trump allegedly has committed were not so grievous as to warrant further prosecution. See how it all works out? After all this, they're still willing to talk about this business of a third way. We don't have to convict, and we don't have to acquit. And this is tomorrow, we will learn what they intend to do. But instead, we suddenly have become enlightened, and we are concerned about not creating a division, a harsh division in the country. So the third option might be floated, that Trump should be given the benefit of this third option, which is to censure him. Now, you see, this is why I detest this kind of politics. They know very well, I mean, it is known very well by now, because he admitted it. He admitted to the charges. But now they still feel compelled to save him from utter ruin, to save his character, to save his reputation as a fine, upstanding president. They're now willing, according to sources, to discuss this third option. Doesn't that make you sick? Really? So we'll see tomorrow whether the Democrats really have decided who they are. And they will go one way or the other. And this third way business with the option, we're not doing options. Since you've been so crazy to even leave open this idea that the president might have a valid reason, or his arguments are valid, and his lawyer's arguments were valid, that we have to accept Donald Trump as our president and king and savior. And what goes with that territory is we have to allow him some room, some elastic. We cannot expect him to function at the same level as us mere mortals. He is a president, a special kind of president, and he is to be allowed some elastic. It might look from time to time like he's breaking the law. It might look like he's lying. It might look like he's deceiving people. But actually, a person of that caliber is to be allowed room to navigate. These are the stupid arguments that we were given. All right, let me find out whether we have lost this tape and whether there's no hope of resurrecting it today. Oh my God. Is it working or is it not working? Okay. I guess it's not working. So, oh, well, we didn't hear it. We didn't hear a thing. The engineer said that the clip had played, but we didn't hear it at all. Let's move on. It's not that serious a thing. But I wanted to highlight, this is why politics, especially here in the United States, oh, okay, I see. He said that the clip did play, except that I couldn't hear it. Oh, all right, so thanks for that. You know, this is why people are so turned off. I am one of them. I have no patience anymore, no appetite for this kind of stuff. I really don't. All right, so we'll talk today about that, what's going to happen to tomorrow, what's going to happen tonight, tomorrow, with this determination of the sentence of Donald Trump. If this third way does surface. And today we'll talk about, what do you expect will be said tonight with the State of the Union message. We'll take this short break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888, right after this.
Give your voice this love.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're talking about the fact that if for a moment you were mesmerized by the Democrats to the point where you forgot, you might have forgotten who they really are, it's good to keep in mind that while things are being engineered in such a way as to make Donald Trump the pariah, and the Democrats are the saintly ones just trying to get justice for the people by impeaching him. You should think about that again. And we will see that it's sometimes six of one, half a dozen of the other, with both sides having some accounting to do about what they have done, and just as importantly, what they have refused to do. And we saw it even in this particular situation. We saw the conduct of Nancy Pelosi, and she has gone completely untouched by the wagging finger of criticism, but there's much to criticize her for how things are turning out. She's shielded, see? But we shouldn't forget that. Maat from New York, how are you?
Yes, greetings, beloved family and you trees.
Thank you.
I have somewhat of a different take. And
okay.
I've been missing the program because I've been riveted by the so-called trial, okay? And I think it's important that we step back from a certain level of cynicism. First of all, two corporate parties, very, very much of a flawed system. But I felt in terms of much of the legal argument and strategy on the House manager's part was brilliant. I mean, I could barely keep my eyes open at some point. So I would go and then I would try to listen on WNYC, and then as I got some rest. But what they miss in terms of the Democrats, I think it's important when you have one of the parties that is basically that wins by cheating. Okay, so whether it's the dark money after Citizens United, the way they handle that and do cover-ups as to who is funding what, the gerrymandering. For example, the Senate, one particular district could get or had gotten 53% of the vote for a Democrat, but because of gerrymandering, the 47% prevails. And there's all kinds of problems with the Senate. 70% covers 30% of the population and vice versa. But what I think they miss in terms of the Democrats is if they had lined up other charges, it makes it too easy for those vicious Republicans for them to, you know, just dismiss even something outrageous like endangering national security. One of the things that they miss is talking about the Putin talking point and the fact that if this scheme had gone through, there's blackmail there. Okay, which of course has been a pattern because as he was trying to do his tower up and through the election, there's somebody like Putin, they can use that against him, and they probably were. I think they should have added more charges such as the emoluments. They didn't have to have too many hearings around that because that's in public, in your face. And I think that they miss where Al Green Representative Al Green was coming from, which was brilliant around the overt bigotry, how it would affect policy moving forward and the incitement of violence. So I think they should have stacked up the charges, okay? And the Republicans have gotten to the, they are literally a cult, okay?
I want to discourage you from using those terms, because everybody, you know, kind of sinks into that mode, calling them a cult. They're not a cult any more than the Democrats have been a cult. But I did say, and you see, this is what I'm testing, whether people are listening. This whole thing, this whole trial, these articles of impeachment, both of them, have nothing to do with justice. They have to do with protecting Joe Biden.
Well, they should focus on his trying to coerce, in terms of, I don't know whether you followed it that closely, around what he said in this memo summary of the transcript with a CrowdStrike, this idea that he was asking Ukraine to come forward and basically implicate themselves in what Russia did. And, I mean, as flawed as the Mueller proceedings were, I mean, he implicated about 26 people, the keystrokes at the Internet Research Agency, and they should have brought out, because the constant harping on Biden didn't help their legal strategy, because the way the Republicans treat Democrats and anybody who's not part of their whatever you want to call them. I mean, look at what Ron Paul did.
We're all over the place. Let's streamline our discussion. The thing is that the reason, this is what I'm saying, why we have to look very closely at the conduct of the Democratic Party in all of this. It was disingenuous. It was deceptive. And it was aimed specifically, all of these resources were to be invested in saving Joe Biden. That's really what the whole plan was. And people went along with it because, I mean, nobody's thinking that the Democratic Party would do something like this, but yes, they did. And they got away with it in the same way that Trump did what he did and seems to be getting away with it. We'll know tomorrow. That's what I'm saying. We have two parties of the same conduct, same behavior, and not caring that they are perpetrating openly a deception, a great deception, in order to save the candidate that they decided a long time ago would be the leading candidate. That's what they did. And if you really, now that you have watched and you have picked up the different pieces, you would see, starting from the only two articles of impeachment, both of them still having to do with Biden.
Well that's where I think that they add. First of all, I cannot put, you know, a party that has become as fascist, they are setting up an apartheid minority rule system. I think that's clear. I think that they should have emphasized the other part of Trump's scheme, and that was coercing Zelensky to plead guilty to what they didn't do in terms of hack. I mean, that idea doesn't even make sense, that they wanted to help Hillary, yet they hacked the Democratic emails. I mean, that's not even anything logical. I think you're right. They should have emphasized that more, because they play into the Republican hand.
Not only should they have emphasized it more, it was literally given to them by Al Green. All of the grounds for impeachment were literally given to them on the floor of Congress, no less.
Yeah, I agree.
He's spelled out in great detail. I ran it live. And I remarked, not one Democrat went to this man after he was done and said, good job. Because he loaded it up. The things he was talking about, none of them ended up in the final articles of impeachment.
Yeah, and when they did find, exactly, they should have included that, yeah. Yeah, and I think
they don't want to, they should have. They went on this mission. From the very beginning, they were very clear about what their purpose was. It was not about addressing the issues of the people. It was about raising issues in such a way to shield Joe Biden. Now you can go back and see what I was talking about.
And ironically, it might have had the opposite effect because Joe Biden has been sliding in the polls, and he seems to have come in fourth when we get the results for in Iowa. That sort of backfired on them. But I can in no way, I understand you're saying the system is broken, but the Republicans have become something else. And there's a whole long history.
It's a wash. And this is what we need to understand. Don't get suckered in by, the Democrats are different from the Republicans and they're going after different. No, they're the same. Very, very stunningly alike. And we will see this. I hope people saw it, had seen it by now. But you take a little step back and you look and you see the things I pointed out and you say, yeah, okay. So that is what the agenda was. That was what it was from the beginning. Thanks for getting us started today, Ma.
Thank you.
Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice. How are you?
Okay. How are you doing?
You know where I'm at. Me and my sons. My sons are getting very well developed with all this hanging. But I got to disagree with you on one thing. I see what you're saying as far as the premise, as far as the disingenuousness of the Democrats, if that is a word, which I believe it is. The lack of truth or veracity or search for justice in this proceeding in total. But I think I don't think it was for Chuck Biden. I think it's two parties having a concerted effort, which really is starting to insult my intelligence because it is not that great of an effort with some of the ridiculous arguments that have been put in place by both sides. And the lack of charges and the lack of veracity, the lack of sincerity, I think it's just to keep Donald Trump in office and to maintain the status quo. I honestly believe that.
You say that the Democrats did this to keep Trump in the White House?
I think so. I think because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And, I mean, look at all of the executive orders this man has put through. Look how both parties, both representing the rich and the upper class, quote unquote, have gotten what they wanted: tax breaks, shutdown on natural resources, and opening up of different areas with the justice system and all these conservative judges, which will have laws in place well into the next millennium, because these judges they're harder to impeach than the president. I mean, if you look at everything in total, I mean, come on, even the Iowa caucus. Why, if you're so amped up about beating this man, if you're so amped up about we've got to take this guy down, why would you take your Iowa caucus and change it from what you used to do with a new app and a different way of counting to take away the momentum from any front runner that comes out?
Because you have a new factor in the race. The new factor being the former mayor of the city of New York, Mike Bloomberg.
But what I'm saying is that they changed the way that they counted the caucus. They used an untested, unvetted app. Why? You're taking away momentum from anybody who comes. The whole thing with the Iowa caucus is momentum. When you can take that victory and use it to move you through the quote unquote political process in this country, they've taken that away. They've shot their own selves in the foot.
Yeah, but you know, the intention was to impress how far ahead the Democratic Party has come. And this is an AI world now.
I don't believe that. I believe I'm from the streets. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in the streets. And a hustle is a hustle. You know what I mean? And you got to be blind not to see the hustle. And to me, the whole hustle is going to keep this man in the White House. Because they're going to turn off people. They're going to turn off Bernie voters. They're going to turn off people. And people are going to walk away. And they know this. And they'll have the status quo. And anything that goes wrong, he's the one to blame. Oh, Trump is here. Because Trump is here. He's a perfect foil to keep the status quo going.
Well, I don't know that I agree with you there. But you don't agree with me on the other side of the argument. Well,
we can agree to disagree. We can agree to disagree, but I'm saying take a look at it. I mean, some of the moves that these people have made go beyond just being insincere to being outright stupidic. You know what I mean? Outright, the argument that Alan Dershowitz has made in front about, you know.
Oh, please don't bring that up.
Well, come on, I'm saying, look at this. I mean, even, I wouldn't expect that argument from my son. Come on, Dad, I did it, but,
and
you know, I
called
didn't mean
it
to do
stupid.
It.
Stupid, just plain stupid argument. But
well, That's what I'm saying. All of this is plain stupid. And it's just, it's like a bad joke or a bad trick, a magician trying to pass off a bad trick that you can obviously see. And that's why I feel my intelligence is being insulted by this whole process. And I do believe that it's just to keep this guy in office so they can do what they want to do, control the populace the way they want to control the populace, and have a boogeyman to blame. Because he's not.
Okay.
He's only in this world.
I'm going to keep your warning words in mind, because I'm going to be looking out for hints and indications that you told us this ahead of time. Thanks for your call today, Ed. Gwen from New York, you're on the air. Hi, Gwen.
Hello. Sorry, pot rack just fell down. That's an emergency. I didn't hear everything that you said. I did hear the Schiff speech that you played. Actually, I liked it. I thought it was a good speech. And
yes,
I just wanted to weigh in.
The Democratic Party is appealing to people. It's taking the high road. It is trying to get us to forget what the Democratic Party really is.
Well, you know, it sounded better than when I was looking at the troll in the White House. But this morning I got, you know, a slap in the face, because I really find it hard to believe that people in Iowa couldn't count those votes that came in. Maybe the app malfunctioned, like they said, but it just seemed to be kind of suspicious timing to me, especially given what Jack Erasmus said last week. Jack Erasmus comes on after you on Fridays, and he had a very interesting show. I felt like I just was talking into his ear, and he was like telling the story of my life. And he first told us what I'm already living, and that is that our jobs are being cut back to like 5 hours a day, part time, very erratic. Sometimes you'll have it, sometimes you won't, and it's not just me; it's lots of other people. So when people talk about this fantastic economy, I think people need to realize the economy is not fantastic unless you are investing in Wall Street. Then the economy is fantastic for you, but the economy is really not about Wall Street. It's about human beings that go to work, get paid, and put money back into the system, and it's a back-and-forth deal that goes back and forth. And right now, people are being squeezed even harder than they had in the past, and so I think that Trump may not be seeing such a rosy future if if the ball keeps dropping the way it is right now, and I already told you that you, and I know you know this, that Barney's New York City went out of business and thousands of people lost their job. And then before that, it was Lord & Taylor's, and that was another thousands of jobs. And there's only so many places that people can go to work after that. So this is just what I'm seeing up close and personal. But I was really disappointed when I woke up this morning and found that, at least I believe as of to right now, we still don't know what the actual count is. We don't know what the win is. We heard people claiming they won when there's no evidence they won the caucus last night. Pete Buttigieg got right in there and claimed a victory when that's impossible.
Well, he
couldn't have won.
He was out there pretty fast claiming victory.
It was amazing. And you know what's also amazing? He has been engaged in business with this company as of just 3 months ago, giving them thousands of dollars. And I don't know, you know, what he was paying for, but it was really strange that somebody who really, really has not had a strong lead at all, not at all in this whole election, declares victory right away. It just all seemed to come together very seamlessly for him, and he was able to do that without any kind of repercussions because nobody could actually tell who did win because the results still are not here. And I just find this kind of stuff to be very suspect. I don't think that this just happened as a glitch. And it really threw, it hasn't thrown the Bernie campaign yet into a tizzy, but I want to tell you this. Something else Jack Rasmus said last week, and I have to say I'm watching it. He said that if Bernie won this caucus and the next couple of caucuses, that the Democratic Party was going to go after him like they were on steroids, and we were going to see mass campaigns against him on the media. And don't I turn on Democracy Now! This morning, and our little Amy Goodman has a guy on from the Republican Party, David Frum, who helped to promote the Iraq War, did all kinds of propaganda for them for 5 years. And this is the expert we had on Democracy Now! Telling us why it would be a bad thing if Bernie got this nomination. And it just made me furious because, you know, of all people, I really hate it when people who claim to be on the left and progressive just totally sell out. And this is the last thing people needed to hear this morning when they woke up was an advertisement for why Bernie shouldn't be your president. As a matter of fact, anybody who heard that should dig their heels in even further and know that that's exactly why he should be your president. Because all of these people that had their money.
Do you understand why Hillary Clinton took the lead on this issue?
Absolutely. She went out and stabbed him last week, and it was unbelievable. But I have to say, she made herself look so bad. It was the worst thing she could have done for herself just as a person, because when you go out and talk to people about Bernie, even if they're not voting for Bernie, I've never heard anybody say anything nasty about him or say that he's not well-liked. If Bernie's not well-liked, then why is it that I've never gone to a rock concert as big as those rallies he has? You know, I'm a kid from the 70s. I went to rock concerts. I've never seen anything like this. So he's pretty well liked. It's just, and you know, I have to say, I feel really good that the creeps in the Senate that work with him don't like him, because that means he's not on the same page with selling us out like they are.
Thank you, and I think you're on point. Thanks so much, John.
Hi.
From New Jersey. You're on the air.
Hey, I just have to say. I'm sorry. How are you? I hope you're doing well.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
We're breathing, so that's important. I just have to say, Ed, I don't know where you're from, Ed from heaven, Ed, you are brilliant, absolutely brilliant. You nailed it. What's going on in our political system today? Years ago, I described it as a good cop, bad cop situation. And the good cops were supposed, i.e. the Democrats, and the bad cops were the Republicans. And that's exactly what they're doing to us right now on a massive scale. This idea of Google directing votes, millions and millions of votes, in the direction that Google they wanted to go is happening to us right now. And if we don't wake up now and start, I don't want to say the word, they're just going to steamroll us right into the ground. That's what they're going to do. And I feel bad for everybody. I wish that they were paying attention more. I wish that the information they were getting was righteous, but it's not. Even the priests, even the police, even the lawyers, they're all in on it. It's a gigantic scam.
You include him
Am I out of school? Am I talking out of school here?
No, I mean, you're not.
I've been living here, and you know, and I never really started paying attention until George W. Bush got elected. At that point in time, I was making signs and going to protest and risk being arrested or beat up. And nothing has changed. It's still the same. The people who aren't going to do anything aren't going to do anything, and they're going to be the first ones in the street with their family and their furniture. That's what we're facing, ladies and gentlemen, and you better wake up to it. I love you, my dear. Keep on doing what you're doing. I will pay attention to every word that comes out of your mouth. You have a good day.
Thank you, John. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts. And that brings us almost close to the end of the program. But you see the value in exchanging opinions and ideas. Everybody has something that they can put in the pot that is of value, great value. If only we take the time, we slow down enough to literally understand the minute details of what people are saying, because there's truth in it. And it counts now more than, I don't want to be superlative about it, but I would say it counts now more than at any other time in recent memory. Because we are going through a very sophisticated process. People will do all kinds of things to persuade us that they're on our side. They're looking out for us. They are reflecting our priorities, but they're not. It's the same thing with a bunch of different faces. And we have to be clear about it. You always have to be on point. You can't let your guard down. Because who was it today who talked about, you know, Gwen talking about, you know, presenting a whole different, a different character to how things are being done now. Very smooth, very personable to get you in to their clutches. So you have to be very, very careful, very much on point, and don't doubt yourself. You could question yourself, but don't doubt yourself. Very often when we react to something, you think you're just being, you're just in a reactive mode. You're not thinking well, and you need to think some more. But actually, your mind is telling you something is wrong. Your mind is telling you what the information you're receiving, you need to take a big grain of salt with it and inspect it more closely to find the contradictions, and you will find them. No question about it, you'll find them. Because you're reacting organically. You know instinctively when something is just not right. And I just wanted to remind us all today that in this battle that has shaped up between the Democrats and Republicans, it would do us a world of good to keep in mind that most often they're the same. There's very little to distinguish between the two. Their methodology may differ, But we have to be on point all the time, because there isn't all that much difference in how they see the world, what they want, where they're going, and ultimately where they're intending to take us all. Thanks so much for listening and contributing today. We'll come back to each other tomorrow. If you have a mind to watch the State of the Union address tonight, do so. And tomorrow we'll see what Congress comes up with as a, quote, punishment, unquote, for Trump. Bye-bye.